Your grace and mercy brought me through. For 365 days of 2019, I was covered and you were covered by God's grace and mercy. When we look back over the days, over the months, over the weeks, over the hours, over the minutes, over the seconds, our testimony should be your grace and mercy brought me through. Lord our God, how thankful we are for your grace and for your mercy. We bless your name for what your Son Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. How he paid it all for us. And because of his blood, because of his death and his resurrection, we find ourselves justified, sanctified, and soon to meet the glorified King. Thank you again. The words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all the people of God said, amen. And they that were not afraid shouted hallelujah. Three things we must do for the church, for Second Baptist Church. Repeat after me. There are three things that I must do for the Second Baptist Church. First of all, come on, help me. First of all, I must pray for the church. Secondly, I must participate in the church's ministries, in worship, in service to humankind. And finally, I must pay. Oh, Lord. Three things. Three sanctified P's. I must pray, I must participate, and I must pay. There are three scriptures printed today that will help us in our preaching. James 5, 13 through 16. James 2, the second chapter, 18th through the 20th verse, and Malachi 3:10. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that he may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devil also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, neighbor, pray, participate, and pay. Sermon's already preached. You have your marching orders. What three things must I do for the Second Baptist Church in the year 2020? In your spare time, look at the book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 23 through 37. If Second Baptist is to be a triumphant church, the members have to be a people of prayer. We must participate in worship and fellowship of the church, and we must pay, make financial contributions to the church. There are a number of Greek words for the word church. One is ekklesia, which means called out. We are called out from the world to be a part of the body of Christ. We are a chosen generation. We are a holy nation. The God that we serve is holy. Isaiah 6 tells us that the angels acknowledge his holiness by saying, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. We are called out. We're in the world, but not of the world. There are some things that we used to do when we were in the world that we do not do anymore. I guess I say we should not do anymore. The language that I learned in South Dallas, how to get folk off my back, to tell them where to go and how to go, and who to meet when they got there. I don't use that language anymore. Some of you are saying you don't use it as often as you used to use it. The things I used to do, say, do, I don't do anymore, because since I met Jesus, there's been a change. There's been a wonderful change. There's been what the Greeks call a metanoia. There's been a change of heart. So I'm in the world, yes, but I don't do what the world, what they do. I don't go where the world goes, because I've learned that if God is to order my steps, I have to take the steps that he orders. Oh, is anybody with me today? So we are a called out people. We are the ecclesia. We are the church. But not only are we called out, we are called out to be in fellowship one with the other. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. We are a body of people that are called out of the world to be in fellowship one with the other. Paul writes to the church and says to the church, do not forsake to assemble yourselves together, to worship, to be in fellowship one with the other. And so we're not only called out to be in fellowship, but we're called out with a message. We have the kerygma of God. We have the message of God. The message of God is that Jesus Christ came and lived and walked among us. He was the incarnated one. He was the one that was very God and very man. He was what the Nicene Council of 325 AD says. He was homoousion. He was of the same substance of man, but he also was of the same substance of God. He was God. He was the God man. That's why he understands our pain. That's why he is compassionate toward us, because Jesus came in the form of a man. He hung, bled, and died. Third day resurrected from the grave. And so that's the message that we have, is that all persons can be saved, that God does not want any one of us to perish. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, thank God your name is whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, have an eternal life. And so since we are the church, since the church is made up not of pews, not of stained glass windows and not of crimson carpet, not of organs and pianos and instruments of praise. The church is made up of you and me. It's made up of people. We are the church. You are the church. When Christ comes back, he's not coming back for a fine structure. He's not coming back for a Gothic edifice. He's coming back for the people of God. He did not die for this building. He died for you and for me. I praise him for his death and for his resurrection. And I honor him as God the Father. I honor him as God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. I honor Jesus Christ as the matchless Son of God who gave, who came, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. Thank God that Jesus Christ sits on his right hand, and when I go astray, he pleads with the Father, do not take his life. Give him one more chance. Thank God for the chances that he gives to each one of us. And so since I am the church, there are some things that I must do for you and that I must do for the Spirit of God who lives in this place. The first thing that I must do is pray. I must pray. Reverend Cornell Evans just got through singing about pray for me. And can I say something to Second Baptist? I don't mind you calling my name when you pray. When you pray, I don't mind you praying for Robert Lee Jimison Sr. I don't mind you calling my name in prayer. You call it in everything else. Oh, y'all missed that. Why not call it in prayer? Why not pray for me? Why not pray for your deacons and for your trustees and for your chairpersons of committees and your chairpersons and presidents of auxiliaries and organizations? If we pray for one another, we can do better in ministry, because we have the undergirdings. We have the help of people who know the art of praying. Shared with 8 o'clock service this morning that when I served in Germany, they had a duty brown train. Is that right, Deacon Shelton? That was going from West Germany to East Germany. And folks say, well, man, I got to catch that duty bound prayer. I don't know about duty bound prayer. I just want people to lift me up in prayer. I'm saying, pray for me. That the will of God would be done in my life, and the will of God would be done in ministry in this church. Pray for your leaders. The Bible says, pray for those who have authority over you, for city council, for the commissioner, for the county commissioner, for the mayor. Pray for the president. Pray, I don't care whether his name is Obama or what's his other name. I don't care who he is. Pray for him. Pray. Prayer makes people different. Or if they're not different, it gives you a better attitude about people. Pray. Pray. Pray for people. Pray for Second Baptist membership and leadership. The church in Acts chapter 4 prayed in unity. It was a united prayer. The Bible said with one accord, they prayed in faith, believing in the word of God. They lifted up their voices to God. They prayed for the noblest things. They did not pray for ease, comfort, nor for the cease of things that were threatening their lives or their ministries. They prayed for God's strength. Many times, we miss praying for strength because we pray for things to be moved out of my way, to move my enemies, to take them out of my path. But guess what? If you didn't have any enemies, you did not know that God tells you to love your enemies. If you did not have an enemy, you would not know that God can move in a mysterious way. Some people pray, Lord, move this mountain. Well, if he moves the mountain, then you won't have a testimony about how God gave you the strength to climb the mountain. That's why the songwriter said, Lord, don't move this mountain. Give me the strength to climb the mountain so you can look back and see how far God has brought you because of the strength that God gives. They didn't pray for a comfortable, easy life. They prayed for strength. They prayed for courage. They prayed for an anointing of God. When God anoints us, he empowers us. He gives us what the Hebrews call the Ruach, the Spirit of God. And when you have the Spirit of God, guess what? You can have faith. And when you have faith, faith helps you to move the mountain, to climb the mountains of life. They prayed that they would have increased boldness in the service of Christ. Too much of our prayers are that we be released from our hard places. The noblest prayer is that being in a hard place, we ask for strength to endure the storm. Paul and Silas were in prison. The Bible does not tell us that they prayed to be released from prison. The Bible tells us that they sung hymns and that they prayed to God. And God sent an angel to shake the jailhouse. And the jailhouse rocked and the shackles fell off. If you want shackles to fall off, if you want your hard trials to move out of your way, then sing and pray. And God will work it out for you. Paul wrote to the church in Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. We have not stopped praying for you. Paul prayed first that the people understand the will of God. Our problem in our prayer life is that we don't say, your will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Jesus prayed out on the Mount of Olives in kneeling and prostrating himself before God. He says, remove this bitter cup. Remove. Maybe what he was really saying is, I don't want to die for these heathens. I don't want to die for these folk who have cursed your name and who have persecuted me and the disciples. I don't want to die for those folk. But then he said, remove this bitter cup, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
my grandson, Robert, I took him and his sister out to ride a little motorbike that I'd bought for him. Bought these big old helmets and so they'd be safe. And they were riding and one would bump into the other. And I said, Robert, why don't bump into your sister? And then she turned around and bumped into him. And I said, come on, McKinley, don't bump into Robert. You're going to cause him to turn over. And guess what? She said to me, if he turns over, you will help him up. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, you pray to be helped up. And God always sends us a helper. He always sends somebody to help us up. No matter how we fall or why we have fallen, he sends somebody to help us up. But we have to understand the will of God. Secondly, Paul prayed that their lives would be pleasing to God. Thirdly, that they would prosper in the work of God. And fourthly, that they would praise God. I wish I had time to talk about praising God, for I have learned that when you praise God, God honors your praise. When praises go up, blessings come down. When you give God the best of your service, he understands and he rewards you for your praise. Maybe once or twice a week, I come to the office and I bring breakfast to the custodian, to Reverend Jackson, and to Mrs. Wilridge and Mrs. Winfrey. I invest in them. I bring them breakfast. I want them to feel good about working and feel good about being here. And so the other day I walked in and Miss Winfrey said, Reverend Jemison, you brought us breakfast? I said, sure, sure. She looked at it and she said, oh, it's not different. I said, what do you mean? She said, it's not different. You talk about loving us and here we thank you for the breakfast, but it's McDonald's sausage biscuit and a cup of senior coffee. That's $2 investment. Y'all missing it. It's my gift once a week to the staff. The other day, Miss Winfrey, I walked in. She said, Reverend Jemison, you may want to get one of those muffins in there. I said, muffins? She said, yeah, some muffins in there. So I went and got a muffin, and she looked at me, and she kind of smiled. She said, like, we invested in you. When you invest in people, people will invest in you. When you give, people will give to you. When you pray, people will pray for you. When you honor people with your service and with your prayer, they will return. Pray. You must pray for your church. Secondly, you must participate in the ministries of the church. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives that great commission, and that is to go to all the world, to every nation, to teach, preach, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, if you participate in God's plan of salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, I am with you always. I need Second Baptists to participate in the ministry of evangelism by sharing with people that you know that Jesus Christ died for them and that we praise God through Jesus Christ here at Second Baptist every Sunday. People say to me, Reverend, we got to do something about these empty pews. Well, I am doing something. I'm preaching. I'm sharing wherever I go, hospital, HEB, I ask people, do you have a church home? Have you visited Second Baptist? You'd be surprised at some of the responses I get. You don't mean Second Baptist. Yes, I do mean Second Baptist. Why wouldn't I mean Second? Well, you know, they want you to put on St. John knits. And I'm looking at the person and I'm saying, what you know about St. John? You drive up in the parking lot, they got every kind of car there is on the parking lot. My hoopty won't do there. I'm saying it's not about what we wear. It's not about what we drive. It's about who we serve. We serve a risen Savior, and he's in the world today. And the world needs to know about Jesus the Christ. Come on, go to church with me. Told one lady, I said, come worship with us. She had two little boys. I said, come worship with us. I'll give you $5 for every person you bring. I was surprised, Jackie. She showed up at church on a Wednesday night with 8 folk. 8 times 5 is what? $40. I was in the wilderness for 40 days. Paid them to come. But they came. And I had to laugh. I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. Because here comes the cat, the dog, or the whole house. But the fact that, what I'm trying to say is, if you invite people, invite them to come to worship the true and living God, and whatever it takes to get them here, because if you get them here, they will not leave the same way they came. Help me, somebody. You must participate in the ministry of evangelism, in the ministry of service. I was talking to a member who had left Second Baptist, and I asked her, I said, why did you leave? She said, well, they wouldn't let me do nothing. I said, what do you mean they wouldn't let you do anything? Did you ask to be an usher? No. Did you ask to sing in a choir? No. Well, what did you want to do? I wanted to be the president. What, you just got here? You want to do what? I wanted to be the president. I said, if you stayed long enough, you could have been the president. You have to give of your time, your talents, and your resources for God to lift you to our position of leadership. Why you want to come in leading and you never followed? You got to participate. Some people say they don't get anything out of church. You don't get anything out of church because you don't put anything in. You don't clap your hands. You don't say amen. You don't even stand when the pastor say, would you please stand in honor? Yeah. We don't even say amen unless it's at the end of a hymn. Oh, man. The Bible says that when they had finished reading the book, that the people said amen. They stood and they said amen. They participated. There was a man, heard this in South Carolina. There was a man who had a mule or a horse plowed his field and that pulled his wagon for transportation. It was a horse that had served him, a mule that had served him over the years. And he needed to go to New York for 30 days. I'm almost finished. He needed to go to New York for 30 days. So he calls his neighbor and says to his neighbor, said, look, Robert, I got to go to New York and I'm going to be gone for 30 days. Can I get you to take care my mule, my horse, my animal, my worker bee? He said, yeah, I'll take care of him. He said, I'll pay you. I'll pay you when I get back. He said, no, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll take care of him. So he said, I'll make a deal with you. They shook hands on the deal. He said, okay, here's the deal. All the manure that he produces, that's yours. But you got to feed him 3 times a day and don't work him. He's on vacation. Just feed him 3 times a day. When he got back, he went to his neighbor and he said, how did he do? He said, well, I fed him Monday, Wednesday, and Friday once a day. And he didn't, the manure wasn't nothing. He said, don't you know? You get out. Woo! You wanted him to produce, but you didn't put anything in. You want your church to be the best church in the city, your choir to be the best choir, your preacher to be the best preacher, ushers to be the finest dressing ushers, but you don't put anything in. If you don't put any praise in, you're not going to get any joy. If you don't praise God and worship God, serve God, you're not going to get any joy. You get out what you put in. Finally, you got to pay. Pray, participate, and pay. Let me get one more thing about participation. I played basketball and baseball for Lincoln High School and for Bishop College. Didn't play on the football team. I tried out, but I can't tell you what happened. I just, coach didn't like me. Coach didn't like me. But I did notice something while sitting in the stands, that there were these cheerleaders, and they were cheering for the team. The score was 66-6 in the fourth quarter, and Lincoln High School, where I went, was losing. But the cheerleaders kept on cheering. When the purple and white hit the field of green, that's the prettiest sight that you ever seen. Yeah, yeah, come on, boys. It's all not over. Come on, boys. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We want a touchdown. 66-6. 2 minutes left, and they're still cheering. They're still encouraging. God needs some cheerleaders in Second Baptist to cheer for the choir, to cheer for the preacher. People come in with a bowed down head. You need to tell them, don't worry. God got an answer for your prayer. God will lift your head. Keep on serving him. God needs some cheerleaders in Second Baptist. But then you got to pay. Will a man rob God? Yea, you have robbed me, but we say wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. I hear people say all the time, I ain't giving that preacher nothing. I ain't putting one dime in that collection plate until he leaves. Guess what? They're going to roll you up here before I leave. And I'm going to stand up here and put you in heaven for a day. Y'all missed it. Don't know how long you're going to stay, but I'm going to put you there. He walking around heaven today. She's singing in the heavenly chorus today. When that day is over, I can hear him say, depart from me, for I know you're not. When the offering plate came, you said, I ain't giving nothing. Or you said, what I give is between me and God. Yes, it is, but he knows what you're giving. Am I on your street yet? kind of like what the old wino said in South Dallas on Bear Street. My grandmother used to walk and collect money for a Sunday school class. She'd go to the drunk and she'd say to him, "John, give me something for my Sunday school class." And John would look up and say, "Jesus paid it all." Jesus paid it all. I don't have to pay nothing. He already paid it all. She said, "I didn't ask Jesus for anything. I asked you." "Well, I'm not giving you nothing today." She said, "Okay, I'll be back tomorrow." Finally, John gave in. He told her, "It's 4 Sundays in the month. I'm going to give you a quarter for every Sunday." Big Mama took the dollar, put it in a special place. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And she looked back over her shoulder and said, "John, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. But you need to give something so that God will know that you understand that the church cannot run on the fact that Jesus paid it all." You're looking at me kind of strange. He did pay it all. He paid it all on Calvary for your salvation, for my salvation. But guess what? He pays it all here through you. I told the congregation, little Robert, I heard him praying, and he was praying in bed. And he said, "Lord, I thank you for my Christmas gift, but that wasn't what I wanted." So I shook him. I said, "Robert, you all right?" He laughed. He said, "Yeah, Dad. Yeah, Grandpa, I'm okay." I said, "You just got through praying? Were you praying? Were you talking to God?" He said, "Yeah, I was talking to God, but I was talking to you through God." I said, "What was it that you wanted?" He said, "I'm going to tell you later." Thank God he left town before he told me. But guess what? God uses human agencies. We are chosen vessels used by God to meet the needs of the church and the needs of the community. Stephanie, God has blessed Second Baptist in so many ways. We should not sit down on anything, but give all that we have to the glory of God. Why? Because what Jesus did for you and for me on a hill called Calvary. How he bowed his head in the locks of his shoulder, gave up the ghost, died, did not faint, but died. They took him off the cross, put him in Joseph of Arimathea's new grave, grave that had never been used before. But that third day, he got up with all power in heaven and earth.